This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our guest, Florentino Lopez. We'll hear from Florentino in just a moment. First off, a representative from Arizona, David Schweikert, who continues to talk about the debt.
I'm fixated on debt and deficits and demographics because I'm going to argue we have a country that about every 13 and a half seconds we're borrowing $1 million. Yet today even we have debates around here and we're arguing about saving a couple $1 million. Great! We borrowed more money during the debate than the debate actually would save if it became law. That's how screwed up we are. Mr. Speaker, I beg of you, and anyone out there that's listening, can we do something real?
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Stephen Orr. Today we're joined by Florentino Lopez. Florentino is a consultant with the U.S. Sorghum Checkoff Program and the National Sorghum Producers. Florentino, thanks for being with us today.
Hey, Stephen, I appreciate having the opportunity to be on the line with you.
Florentino, let's start, and just real quickly, what is your role in the sorghum industry and with the Sorghum Checkoff and sorghum producers?
Well, definitely, I have kind of a revolving role. Of course, currently I serve as an independent consultant, and so I work with a variety of different groups, different companies, and literally work quite a bit of time with the sorghum checkoff. So I serve mainly on the international side, trying to help the sorghum checkoff kind of continue to expand marketplaces. On the other side, of course, I work with everyone from farmers on the ground to co-ops to large international companies looking for products and or other items kind of on the ag sector. All of it is related to agriculture. And so my background really has been not only with the checkoff, serving as the executive director for basically about 11 years prior to this role, but also kind of on large scale operations in the Texas Panhandle, mainly on the swine side. So my background continues to be around agriculture, and I still do that today. And I've been fortunate in having the opportunity to run more independently and kind of do things that really not only challenge me, but also hopefully help the industry, not only the sorghum industry, but agriculture in general. It's something that's really dear to me. It's something that's important. And of course, agriculture continues to be that main staple that helps feed the world. And so I always want to carry that message forward.
When we look at the sorghum industry and we look at trade, certainly international trade always vital to the success of sorghum. When we look at that, what is the trade picture for sorghum right now?
You know, as we talk about sorghum or the international market, the international market has always been important for sorghum, whether that is moving grain into grain sorghum into Mexico or moving it into Spain or even moving it into China. You know, if we look at kind of the economic picture of it from 2021 to 2025, and one of the things to remember is 2025 was actually a pretty bad year. But during that time frame, our sales internationally account for about $1.46 billion worth of trade. And so that to me is an extremely important part of what sorghum brings to the table. Along that time frame, you have years that were $2.3 billion of trade that was actively done with grain sorghum. You know, if we look at total volumes, all of a sudden between that 2021-2025 years, it's about 5.2 million metric tons. I know oftentimes we don't talk about metric tons on the ag picture, but it's an important number. Translating that over to million bushels, it's basically about 205 million bushels of sorghum that are exiting the country. And that's really kind of looking at the big picture. So again, those are all numbers that are easily, readily available through USDA. It's something that's important that we always need to have that message going out, because oftentimes our farmers get busy, they're doing their thing, they need to be out in the field, And we're not necessarily getting that message across to them constantly. I know that the CheckOp, as well as NSP, National Sorghum Producers, actively has a role in getting that message out to farmers. But it's important for us to really understand how much product exits the country, whether that's sorghum, soybeans, corn, whether that's DDGs coming off an ethanol plant. There is a lot of those products that are in high demand in other countries, and we actively have to create those markets, or we have to be involved with those markets to get those products to flow. And so that's kind of my role, is helping to make sure that we're carrying that communication on into other countries, that we have the ability to provide them with information, that we have the ability to provide them with actual salespeople that can provide a quote to them and hopefully get that trade taking place. So I know it seems a little involved, but quite frankly, it's a lot about relationships. It's about carrying those relationships forward and actually bringing them together, buyers and sellers, putting them in front of each other, and hopefully them working out a deal to where product will move.
Florentino, we can't talk sorghum trade without talking about China. And you mentioned 2025, virtually no U.S. sorghum went into China. We've seen improvement. Where is that China relationship today?
You know, even in 2025, we did see a little bit of movement of sorghum into China, but it was relatively low. We saw a lot of movement, of course, of sorghum going into Mexico, going into Spain. Since that time frame, looking at the 2026 year, we have definitely seen an improvement. Last week, of course, we saw five vessels that were reported on Monday that were loaded last week. We actually saw five vessels headed out. And so definitely we continue to see improvements there. This current marketing year, so when we look at the marketing year, it's basically September of last year, 2025, and we'll carry on over until the August timeframe. But if we look at that, we're right at about 5 million metric tons, or roughly 200 million bushels. So we're about at that level that we've been for previous years. Of course, 2025, as you mentioned, was a lot lower, but we're seeing that kind of strength come back. Is China involved in that marketplace currently? Absolutely. China right now accounts for about 74% of all of those exports that have taken place. So that 74%, you know, basically looking at that 200 million bushels, 74% of it is actually actively being sent to China. Of course, there's other players in there as well, whether you look at Mexico maintaining about 6% of that. Spain has done a wonderful job by buying sorghum. They've seen market opportunities. They have purchased right at about 9% of this year's total sorghum sales. We've seen Italy, Japan, Saudi Arabia actively involved in the marketplace as well. So they also are buying sorghum. And it's important for us. I know there's always that large discussion of, oh, we're selling everything to China, so when the shoe drops, we don't have another marketplace. But, you know, there's a lot of other marketplaces that we're actively engaged with those. Recently, of course, the sorghum truck-off was represented in Vietnam as well as Malaysia. And so there's marketplaces that continue to build up. There's a team that's traveling to China next week, again, trying to shore up those relationships and make sure that we're carrying that sorghum message forward. Of course, we're always talking sorghum, but at the same time, they have questions about other ag products. And of course, we want to continue to move U.S. products overall. But our focus definitely is on U.S. sorghum and making sure that we're moving U.S. sorghum throughout the world. Of course, you know, we talk a lot about China. We talk a lot about these other marketplaces, but we're constantly searching for new marketplaces, not only here domestically, but as well internationally. So from my perspective, I always want to encourage farmers. I always want to encourage the marketplace to continue to ask questions, whether that's going directly to the sorghum checkoff, NSP, and or your local groups to try to find out what's taking place. We're always trying to provide as much information as possible to keep them informed of the marketplace and hopefully get a better sense and better direction of what they need to be doing to hopefully continue to see a fruitful kind of harvest. I know prices right now are not the best, but without markets internationally, I would hate to see what they would look like. So we continue to push that message forward.
Florentino, as we wrap up here, as you look forward over the next 18 months or 2 years, and I know that's getting out there a little bit, what do you see sorghum's position, and do you feel like there's room for growth and that we're going to actively see that growth?
You know, I think one of the things that we always need to look at is sorghum overall. If you look at supply and demand and you actually look at ending stocks and you look at the total usage of sorghum, sorghum doesn't carry year to year. It always gets utilized. And so I believe that's encouraging. It's not like we're carrying this this very large amount of stocks. So our stocks to use ratio generally is pretty strong. And so I believe that that's definitely positive. I also believe, you know, we all talk about climate. We all talk about water use. We all talk about what's going on in particular locations. We all talk about those things. And having an extra tool in a farmer's toolbox by having another crop that they can utilize on a dry year, for instance, or on a year where prices are better, we need to make sure that we're encouraging farmers that they can use a variety of different crops, whether that is sorghum, whether that is looking at cotton in South Texas, or whether that is looking at a corn soybean rotation. We're always trying to make sure that we're finding those options. And hopefully the farmer realizes I have a tool in my toolbox that will generally work depending on climate. It'll generally work depending on markets. It's consistent, and we want to keep it going.
Well, Florentino, I want to thank you for joining us today. We're out of time, but hopefully you'll come back and update us in the future.
I definitely appreciate it, Stephen, and by all means, feel free to reach out to me anytime. Look forward to our next discussion.
Again, that's Florentino Lopez. He's a consultant to the U.S. Sorghum Checkoff and the National Sorghum Producers working in international trade. I'm Stephen Orr. This is the Agribusiness Report.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at deltapine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Welcome back. It's the Agribusiness Report. Smaller U.S. ag trade deficit may look like progress, but one economist says the reason behind the change actually matters for farmers. University of Tennessee economist Andrew Muhammad says ag trade deficit narrowed to $7.5 billion from January through April, compares with $19.7 billion during the same period last year. Improvement driven more by weaker imports than by stronger exports, though. Ag exports increased 5.5%, but imports, they fell 11.5%, including sharp declines from the European Union, Brazil, and Southeast Asia. It's the Agribusiness Report.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
It's the Agribusiness Report. USDA out with the cattle on feed report. On feed numbers average trade guess was 102.5%, and USDA came in at 102%. The placement number, average trade guess was 94.5%. USDA said actually at the bottom of trade estimates at 90%. The marketing's expectation was 89.4%. USDA came in below that at 88%. Again, USDA's cattle on feed report released on Thursday for the month of June. The next big report, acreage report, at the end of the month. It's the agribusiness report.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Dr. Brad Lubin, University of Nebraska at Lincoln.
We know we have situations where the drought conditions or the lack of irrigation water supplies have already affected planting decisions. And so some of our planting and production estimates are likely to come back down as we get to the end of the season. On the other hand, some of this global uncertainty with global conflict and trade conflict and other economic uncertainty that's lifted some inflationary pressure on production costs has also maybe helped lift some of the commodity price levels. And we do see commodity prices that are stronger than today than they were at the time of the initial analysis here. So there are offsetting factors. It's not easy to try and second guess the numbers at this point in time, but surely we're going to see adjustments by the time we get to the end of the year.
It's the Agribusiness Report.